Welcome back to the MLS Net Boys podcast. My name is Chase. That was probably really loud and just broke everybody's car speakers. I'm here with Jacob. How are you doing today, man?
I'm pretty good. I don't know. Is it episode 53 at this point?
I think we're at 53. 53? Still no intro.
What do you mean? I just heard the intro.
Just a bass boosted, reverbed can opening of a beverage that shall not be named.
Hey, we're taking our time. We're going to find the right podcast intro creator, because we're going to stick with them for the next 15 to 20 years.
I'm going to know whoever creates our podcast intro longer than I'll know my kids.
That's the goal. I'm good, man. I say the same thing every week, but what else can you say? Another great week of MLS. I was defending the integrity of our league. I was telling Chase online, putting some tweets out in the Twitter sphere, and
I love nothing more than defending the integrity of MLS, but I'm curious. MLS is the hill that we both die on, but what is some of the ground that you give? Like, if somebody's making an argument, like, what ground would you give up? Would you be like, oh, okay, you got a point there? Like,
see, for me, I don't mind when people criticize MLS. It's just like this blind, like, hatred, or like when people guise it under like, oh, I just care about what's best for the league, and since you're like criticizing my comment or like picking it apart, that just means you think MLS is like beyond like comments or criticism, and it's just like this like holier than thou like shield where it's like you give like a media pass to certain people, but then I can't criticize the media when they make an offhanded comment. I'll give a great example. A lot of mistakes in the back in MLS recently. Patrick Schulte, notably, in the Champions League game. It happened to Drake Callender as well in their Champions League game. All right, happens. Pretty poor mistake. Criticize it. Fine. It's terrible. However, when you have these giant companies, not even companies, when you have these giant personalities, sorry, covering MLS or covering soccer abroad, and they ignore Calvert-Lewin scoring for Everton in a terrible fashion, Nunez for Liverpool, the Burnley own goal that happened when the Burnley-Brighton game, and then you, a couple days later, say MLS teams don't know how to play out of the back, but ignore those. That's weak, and I'm not here for it. Take it away.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. It's frustrating seeing people kind of, like, that's what I really appreciate about Jimmy Conrad. Coach Jimmy, he'll put up these videos where, like,
I love the Coach Jimmy videos. Yeah,
he'll criticize anybody and everybody, and I've seen him, like, he'll start criticizing, like, an MLS video, and they'll be like, oh, wait a second, we got something else. And then he'll, like, cut to, like, the same thing happening in, like, the Prem or La Liga or...
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I appreciate him being consistent and, like, having the mentality of, like, if you're a professional player and this is what you do every day of your life, you shouldn't be making this mistake no matter what league you're in, but it happens in every league.
Yeah, that's totally fair, objective, great analysis. You even look at, like, the Champions League games. All great games. Look at the Dortmund-Atletico game. Both Atletico goals, some pretty poor playing out of the back mistakes from Dortmund, but you don't have all these, like, weird, like, soccer analysts, like, going crazy about it and saying, I can't watch this. This isn't a serious league. It's a joke.
Yeah, it's kind of just the... It's... You know what? It's like a... How do I say this? It's like the hipster thing to say, but not hipster anymore because it's, like, so common. It's kind of like back when everybody, like, thought they were a hipster, but it was, like, they were just doing...
The same thing.
Yeah, they're all doing the same trend.
My last... we didn't even do Clown of the Week, but my last my last take on this, before we get into the nitty-gritty of the week, CBS Sports Golazzo, Champions League coverage channel with Kate and Thierry and Micah, entertaining show. Their morning crew covered, like, the Wrexham promotion story, and one of the analysts, he was, I forget his name, he's one of the guys from the Cooligans, like, show.
Oh, yeah.
and he's on like their roundtable thing, and he said Wrexham has done just as much for soccer in the United States as MLS. They're doing the same amount of good in the U.S. because of the publicity Wrexham is getting. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I've seen on Twitter all day today.
That's really stupid.
Even if you compare it from like a viewership perspective, of all times to say that when we have Messi in the league with record-breaking numbers and crowds every week, it feels like, what a trash take.
You didn't know that Wrexham actually has an academy in every major city in the United States?
Or produce half the national team, or...
Hey, they beat the women's national team 9-0 in a 5v5 tournament.
TSA or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know. That is a trash take, in that I don't think anybody would even disagree with that. That just kind of, to me, just proves the point of, like...
There were some,
how
like,
ill-informed and just idiotic some of these people that get on TV are.
There were some weirdos online where, like, he's not wrong, you know. This is, like, proper football. What a successful underdog story.
Bunch of neckbeards. Bunch of Seattle neckbeards.
I didn't want to say the dreaded N-word on this podcast like you just did, but...
Neckbeard?
We're going to move on. We're going to move on before we make too many enemies, before we've even made it to the big time, so...
I think we won't have any allies left when we make it, if we do.
I go after all these random, like, social media personalities and accounts. Chase handles, like, hating on entire fan bases or coaches.
If we ever make it big, we're going to be, like, a coalition of just, like, obscure, like, MLS sicko, like, meme pages put together. I hate to say it, we're going to be, like, a Reddit army.
Ah. We better stop while we're ahead.
We might be the neckbeards that we so fear.
speaking of neckbeards, Chase and I went to the Portland Timbers game in Portland, hosting LAFC, a 2-2 draw. Got a red card for Maxime Crippeau. Two goals for each team. Bogush with a brace. Evander with kind of almost two goals, it looks like. A goal and assist.
He put that up on his story today with, like, a vote thing that says, like, goal or assist.
You had the better view behind there, I'm assuming. So what's your take?
I'd say it was goal for him. From what I saw, I didn't see, like, any movement from when Mora touched it. However, if Mora's not there, that's not a goal. So do you give him the goal for being... I don't know. That's a tricky area.
Yeah, weird game. Kind of back and forth, it felt like. Portland goes up 1-0. LAFC equalizes. Portland goes up 2-1. And then it goes into halftime. And then kind of chaos ensues. In the 48th minute, Crepeau gets a red card. Foul outside of the box. Bogus with a kind of crazy free kick. Like a yard outside of the box. But it ends 2-2.
Yeah, that sucked. I was right behind that goal. So I didn't even see the red card. We had gone to... like the shop, and we were buying stuff because we were there with one of her cousins that's never really been to a Timbers game before, and one of my girlfriend's cousins, that is, and we were buying some stuff, and as soon as we, like, come back out, we're walking down kind of behind where all the shops are, and as soon as I turn the corner, I just see, like, Crepeau just jogging off the field, and I was like, what the heck, did they sub Crepeau or something? And then I counted the players, and I was like, oh no. It was a red card, of course. And yeah, it was a bummer, but Bogush looked great. Evander looked great. Kind of both took control of the game. Evander had a stellar first half, and obviously not as notable in the second half, but it's a little bit tougher when you're playing down a man.
Yeah, I mean, LAFC going to be disappointed they didn't get 3 points out of this. They were up a man the entire half, had a disallowed goal at the end, which I see a lot of fans, like, contesting that it wasn't a foul on the box. LAFC has a scramble in the box. I think it's Ordaz was his name, called on a foul on Kamal Miller before Timothy Tillman scores, which would have been the winner. LAFC fans right next to me and my buddies, and they start hucking beer, and then the goal is called off, which was kind of funny.
The Raider fans of MLS. We had some LAFC fans down in front of us that were some good guys. They were good sports. They were joking around. They were being rowdy, but they were good sports about it because they were making amends with everybody, you know. cool dudes, cool dudes. The rest of the fan base,
I was gonna say,
not as much.
The ones I sat by, loose cannons, I'll put it that way.
They may have been cool because they were surrounded by Timbers fans. That may have been the reason why. But when you get a whole like 300 of them just pent up in a corner, and then you guys have to sit next to them, probably not the best experience as a Timbers fan.
Yep. We'll take it, though. Good game all around. Ends with a point apiece. Charlotte hosting Toronto FC. This ends as a 3-2 win for Charlotte. Another game kind of all over the place. Charlotte up, Toronto takes the lead, and then Charlotte ends up with a late, late winner. Toronto with a red card. But most importantly out of this, Bill Tuiloma gets a start.
Big old BT back in the building. I don't even want to talk about him, actually. It's disappointing. Toronto, what is going on with Toronto? This is
imploding quickly.
It is sad to see, man. I mean, granted, yeah, they got a red card at the very end of the game, so it didn't really affect the outcome because, I mean, it was 98th minute or something, right? But they just, like you said, they're just imploding. They seem like they're out of ideas now that Insigne is gone. But I don't know. I feel like this Toronto team is going to regress back to the mean of what most people predicted them to be like. Not just because Insigne is gone, but I think that momentum was bound to fall off at some point. And they just took a huge step towards it with Insigne getting injured.
His form was kind of like a Band-Aid job, which obviously isn't the intention, but because you look at this roster, you look at this lineup they put out, and it does not look good enough for MLS. Even if you throw Insigne in there, it looks marginally better at this point.
You're telling me Matty Longstaff isn't going to just hold this team together?
I mean, he's been
putting up Messi and Leagues Cup performances, all right? Just taking people on, yelling at guys in the tunnel. I love it.
You think Jonathan Osorio is going to let that guy take the leadership role? No. This is Jonathan Osorio's team.
Maybe they're butting heads in the locker room. Insigne is not there to calm the boys down. Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about them anymore. Good one for Charlotte at home. DC United hosting Orlando. And a 3-2 win on the road for Orlando. Duncan McGuire with the 91st minute winner. Orlando, kind of not back, but they're starting to pick up points now. They're looking better. What do you have to say?
I think they still have a long way to go. Like, they definitely are getting better, and they have the pieces there, but it still just seems like very disjointed to me. Even when you kind of like, They picked up a good result against a DC team, but it just looked like defensively they look very disjointed. They don't look like the defense that everybody expected from them. Duncan McGuire still looks great. Luis Muriel hasn't really fit in like anybody expected him to. I feel like his role is kind of unknown at this point. So I don't know. I think they have a lot of work to do. They're definitely still capable of a top half finish. I think they'll definitely be in the playoff hunt, or, you know, in the playoff picture, but not where everybody thought they were going to be at by any means.
I agree. And with DC, I want to focus on them real quick. They've kind of developing this habit of letting these games slip away. They were up against Columbus. They had a great chance in this game, and they're letting these results slide. They're having that Sporting Kansas City syndrome, and it's disappointing if you're a DC fan, because they're not playing like awful in these games. They're competing. They started off the year pretty decent, but now not doing so hot. But we're going to move on. Montreal hosting Cincinnati. Montreal finally at home, taking on the reigning Supporters Shield winners as well. So not exactly an easy game, but Montreal wins 2-1. Josef Martinez with another goal.
You love to see it. I honestly, I'm kind of pulling for this Montreal team. That just the what they had to go through with such a long, like, away run to start the season, come home and make a statement like this against the reigning Supporters Shield winners. Josef Martinez, you knew, was going to turn up for this game, but just huge. I mean, they dominated the game. They had I mean, it's pretty even possession, but they had double the shots of Cincinnati. They seemed like they were up for it. And I think this start of the season, even though they didn't pick up a ton of points, I think it's going to be good for them in the long run because they knocked out so many away games and they're probably so galvanized right now as a team. I bet that locker room is just buzzing.
Too bad the Sounders beat them last week, so their season's over.
Oh, yeah, Sounders are going to win everything.
me and Chase, I can't resist. I'm sorry. I got to get my Sounders dig in. But we're going to move on. This was an emotional experience here. We got the New York Red Bulls hosting Chicago Fire. Emotional day, big sporting scene. Tom Barlow returns to the New York Red Bulls with Chicago back at Red Bull Arena. They gave him like a plaque before the game and did like one of those quick things like, welcome back, Tom Barlow, to Red Bull Arena. And they hand him this plaque and it was like 152 games and then it's 8 goals. And they were like, I saw a bunch of comments online. They're like, why would you give this plaque to him like formatted this way as a striker? Just like, if he hasn't scored that many, just put appearances. Like, yeah. That makes it look a lot worse.
That's a weird dig to throw at a striker. That's kind of funny, though.
0-0 game. Dude. I saw, you know what's weird? I saw the score of the next pro, like, matchup of these two teams. It was a 5-5 game, and then it ended in the shootout. New York was up 4 goals at one point, and then Chicago 2 came back.
That's crazy.
And this was 0-0.
Red card in the first half for New York Red Bulls. Chicago still couldn't score. They, despite having 66% possession, Red Bulls still doubled the shots. Red Bulls had 19 shots. Chicago had 9. And they were up a man for 48 minutes of the game.
Chicago needs a real manager who's not stuck in MLS 2.0, especially now that they've got some decent pieces there. It's kind of embarrassing. Like, they started off not great, but like, I feel like for Chicago, like, glass half full, you know, you'll take what you can get. And now they've kind of stagnated, it feels like. They won last week, sure, but...
Tell me old Frank Klopas isn't a real manager.
You know what they need? They need to get the one, the only, Brian Schmetzer.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Who could they actually pick up? I mean, we don't want to talk about it too long, but who would be a good fit for this team?
You know, a name I saw floated just in a completely different thing. It was asking, who would you take at your club? It was some other MLS club, I forget. And they were just saying, like, long shot manager, like, doesn't matter the price, doesn't matter if they're at another club, retired, whatever, who would you take? And somebody was saying Miguel Herrera, the former, like, Mexico boss.
Oh, really?
And Club America boss. I don't know. I'd like to see him swing for somebody kind of ambitious like that. He's won a lot of trophies wherever he's been at. Like, wherever he has resources is what some people were saying. I'm not a huge, intricate follower of him, so I don't know. But
yeah.
He's got quite the personality. So,
you know who I'd say? And he's not available right now. I'd say Greg Berhalter.
That would make sense, yeah.
Because isn't he from Chicago or he has a home in Chicago?
He lived there, yeah.
I think that would just be a perfect fit because he's proven he can create a system that is fun to watch and he's good at building up a locker room, and I think that's what Chicago needs. They need a good culture around them. But let's move on. That was a 0-0 game. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Nobody cares.
New York City hosting the New England Revolution. 2-0 to New York City. What is new? Revolution lose again.
Hey, they won last week.
They won last week.
They were back on track,
guess,
and now they're...
I guess Caleb Porter didn't guarantee a win this week.
It's just, all right. They lost 9-2 on aggregate in their Champions League.
Oh, my gosh. Tie. Absolutely horrible start to the season for them. I think they're bottom of supporter shield at this point, right? Nope, San Jose is still below them. That just says how bad San Jose, because San Jose, that is horrible. San Jose, next place for Caleb Porter to go coach.
Hey man, there's still time for Caleb Porter's just doing it the opposite way this year. He's going to miss the playoffs first, and then next year he's going to win MLS Cup.
Second year is when he wins.
So Yeah, I mean, good for NYCFC, I guess. I feel like, you know, I was going to say in my head, it feels like they're back, but it's so early in the season, so, like, these trends have started to develop, and I'm thinking it's almost like earlier where you could get one win and you'll be above the line, but New York City FC just won this game, still in 12th place, so... I mean, you got to beat New England at home this year, so good for them.
Has Bakrar even scored yet for them?
I don't know. I
don't think he has, which is an issue if your striker, your main striker, can't score for you when you're like a high possession team that creates quality chances.
No goals for Bakrar. I just did my journalism.
If he aimed about like a foot lower every time he shot the ball.
Do he have like 10 goals this year?
He'd probably be like golden boot leader.
He's going to become our like, because he hasn't reached like cult hero status nearly yet in MLS. I see just fans just like kind of making fun of him. This guy's going to be our Kakuta Mane of the future.
Do you think he just becomes like an MLS journeyman and just gets just traded around to team to team?
I feel like when you see a striker like him, his trajectory will be like he'll get traded to FC Dallas like halfway through the year, finish a half season, maybe score like one goal, and then get transferred to like a lower tier European league. Like, oh man, I don't even know what I'm gonna say here. Like,
send
the
him
Croatian
to like
league
the,
or something
like
that. Like
the Juniper Pro League in Belgium.
I was thinking lower, man. I was thinking like Azerbaijan or like.
Oh wow, yeah. No, I was thinking like a relegation scrap for a Belgian side. No, I could see honestly, just with like his physicality and the way he can sprint, I could see him being a super sub for like a few MLS teams. If you just tell that guy to run in behind and then just cut the ball back, never shoot. Just do a cutback, even if there's nobody there. You'd probably find a few goals from it.
I was going to say, he looks dangerous. I mean, with players like that, I feel like they're always like a patch away from like being like a great utility like or substitute like role off the bench or like spot starter when you're in a lot of competitions. So I feel like I can see that happening with him. But I'm going to move on to FC Dallas hosting the Seattle Sounders. Seattle's back, baby. A 0-0 draw.
Woo! Yeah. Let's just deep dive into this game and talk about these two just giants of the Western Conference right now.
I had Dallas pretty high, unfortunately. Really disappointing for FC Dallas. Drawing at home, not beating Seattle. Seattle, I'm just going to point this out here. We've pointed this out before. You already know. We're going to spend a little extra time on them, but Seattle has played Austin, Dallas, and San Jose this year. They've gotten 2 points out of that stretch. Now they've got 10 games in 41 days. Vancouver, DC, Portland, Columbus, Galaxy, like we've mentioned before. Are things going to get easier? I don't think so.
No, but the momentum and the morale you get from going down to Dallas and pulling out a scrappy 0-0 is unparalleled.
I will say, as a Portland fan, I'd take some of those Texas 0-0 draws on the road, but...
Yeah, it's just not looking good for Sounders or Dallas right now. Both these teams are just down in the dumps, and, you know, this was a big chance for Dallas to leapfrog Seattle, and the standings go from a 13th up to 12th, and they just couldn't do it in the end, you know?
Man.
We don't even need to talk about this game anymore. Both these teams have a lot to figure out. Dallas, I mean, they're starting to get guys back from injury, so they should start to get better, but it just seems like there's no cohesion there. Seattle just, they look better now that they went back to a 4-2-3-1, but just still can't seem to be consistent in finding chances.
Moving on, Sporting Kansas City hosting Inter Miami, a 3-2 win on the road for Miami. A big crowd at the Kansas City Chiefs football stadium, 72,000-73,000. A big win for Miami. Kansas City once again blowing a lead at home. But, you know, I'm just going to, you can provide all the analysis you want for this. You know what this game was supposed to be? This was supposed to be Messi versus Ronaldo. If some things went different in the winter of 2022, we could have seen Messi versus Ronaldo at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri.
That would have been
an all-time MLS heritage moment.
And somehow Patrick Mahomes is just slithering his way in there to get a photo op. Yeah, that's kind of wild to think about, that we could have had that matchup. Like, that's basically Barca and Real Madrid right there against each other in the Midwest. That is so wild to me, but I don't even know what else to say about this game. I mean, Miami are just, they're kind of like undeniably good at this point, I guess. Like, when everybody's there, when they have all their players. And it's kind of a scary idea that they're out of the Champions League now. And I feel like with them finding a little bit of momentum and like groove in the league now, not having too many other things to focus on, they're going to start just snowballing these points.
Maybe. I don't know. I definitely agree.
If Eric Tommy can't put a stop to this, then who can? All right.
Eric Tommy with a great brace, two very nice goals. I mean, this just was kind of weird. Like, Jake Davis, the fullback for Kansas City, like, just completely loses possession, turns it over in his own half, and then Miami scores Suarez with the tap-in, and Kansas City are just finding these ways to implode at home. They were up 1-0 against Philadelphia, concede a 95th minute equalizer. They were up 2-0 at home versus the Galaxy, lost 3-2. They were up 3-0 at halftime last week against the Timbers, ended up drawing. They're up in this game, ended up tying it later on and lose. Like, these guys, man, I feel really bad for them. They're in ninth place at 10 points. Like, these guys could be leading the Shield race if they didn't cough up so many leads at home. Kind of crazy, but everybody and their uncle is going to be talking about how Miami and Messi won player of the match and goal of the week because of this game, which he did. So I'm done.
Do you still think Messi's like the odds on favorite for MVP?
I'm going to say,
because Suarez has looked to be the more important player for them in MLS so far, this season at least.
He has, and they're going to give it to one of them, I feel like, just for the PR, because they even posted an MVP like power ranking segment on their website, and Suarez was the top of the list, even though like Chicho Arango has, well, before this game, he had more goals and assists combined, undeniably on a worse team. So I feel like they're going to give it to him.
Tell me RSL isn't as star-studded and and amazing to watch as Miami.
Hey, man, I'll take Andres Gomez on that wing over Messi any day. But I feel like they're going to do it. For some reason, they gave Messi player of the match day because of this day game. And I don't know, man. You know how MLS favors their league darlings. One thing I want to bring up. So the Club World Cup is going to be in the U.S. This upcoming year, 2025, and some of the spots are like already figured out. Traditionally, the host nation gets one spot, and they'll give it typically. There's no rule about this. They get to decide however they want, but typically the host nation has given it to the team who's won the championship. If Miami doesn't win it, what are the odds you think they give the spot to Miami?
I think Miami would have to win something else. They would have to find some other reason to give it to them. Because I think if Miami has like a completely like just unsuccessful year and they don't win a single thing, I think everybody in like MLS, like media and the organization itself, would just be like trying to find some way. It'd be like, well, they scored the most goals, or they played the most matches. They had the most winningest record if you combine all matches.
They're out of the Champions Cup. They're not in the U.S. Open Cup, so they can only get the MLS Cup or the Shield at this point. So one of those two. I agree, though. I just, since all the big boys are coming to this, Man City, Real Madrid, all these like different confederation winners, you know there's going to be a lot of people like, vying to see, oh, I want to see like Miami play against, you know, Man City or like Real Madrid one last time. I feel like they're going to do it. No, I'm putting it like a 90% chance.
I think so, but I think there would be so much bad
PR
and just disdain from like true MLS fans if they did that. I think they're a little bit smarter than that. But I saw the other day, it was some random small MLS meme page, but it was like an old meme about like Miami losing to Al Nassr. I think that was the one they lost like 6-0 or something, right? And it was just this heated debate that this guy like posted his like screenshots of him just going at it, talking about like if that was Columbus, they would have like ran circles around that team. And I don't know if I like completely agree with that, but for me, I would much rather see a team like that. That's like, that's a true, because Miami's just like an anomaly that's going to be 2 year like flash in the pan, then they'll just go back to being like pretty bang average team.
Yeah, I'd love to see, like, I just want to see somebody earn it.
Like Columbus to me is like Columbus, Cincinnati, like Philadelphia, like those are all teams that are like the epitome of like MLS like excellence, because it's not just bought and all like for PR. And you know, I'll admit it, like Miami has grown the league a lot, but to me, I think those other teams are more impressive because they operate within the confines of, you know, the wage structure, and you know, they have a lot more of a budget with how they can build, and they're just a lot smarter. And to me, I think they're better teams with their play on the field as well. Not always, but I'd say Columbus probably is better than Miami. So I'd love to see a team like that represent MLS over Miami.
I'd love to see any team over Miami other than Seattle. Who's convinced they're already in it, though, unfortunately. So
that's stupid.
The 1 year they change it is like the one time like Seattle gets in for winning it like 2 years ago. Isn't that funny?
I'll give you this dream scenario right here. Last 10 games of the season, San Jose is on the cusp. They're in 13th place. They go on a tear. They win all 10 games. They barely scrape into the playoffs.
Man, they're in a big hole if they win. They got 30 points at the end of the season and barely made it.
They barely scrape into the playoffs. They win every single game. They go to the final. They beat Miami. They go to the Club World Cup over Miami. How amazing. I think I would be, other than like seeing the Timbers go, I think that would probably be my dream scenario.
That would be a dream. The San Jose Earthquakes beating Messi. Can you picture that?
You just got Christian Espinoza and Jeremy Abobase going up against like
Preston Judd bangs in the header. Like,
and then next year you see them like take the same field as like Jude Bellingham, and
they're just like passing it around like Real Madrid. And you go, ole, ole, they're like PayPal
that,
Park.
They're like that Ajax team when they played Real Madrid in the Champions League. Just like,
oh man.
Trying to think who would be the equivalent players for that. Instead of like Frankie de Jong, you got Jackson Ewell.
Carlos
like,
Guerrero.
Yeah, Carlos Guerrero just turning around like Jude Bellingham and pinging the ball off of Jeremy Abobase for a 1-2.
Got Pellegrino being the Hakim Ziyech. Of, oh, man. Who says men can't dream? That's a good dream. That's a good dream right there.
I would love that. No, the only, I like that, or seeing like Montreal or like Colorado do it, that would be awesome.
For me, it's the Quakes, Colorado, New England.
Chicago.
Or Chicago. One of the like MLS legacy teams still with kind of like a weird name, like Chicago Fire versus Real Madrid. That just sounds awesome. That'd I don't even awesome. Want to talk about the rest of these games. Let's just talk about that.
Let's just keep dreaming. Just Chicago Fire against Chelsea. You just you watch Cole Palmer just scream
score
at his
penalties.
Teammates.
Hey, let's be real. Chelsea's not going to make it. They're not going to
make
it.
Yeah, we'll real talk here. Jack Grealish just gets stomped on by Kellen Acosta.
Love
Anyways,
it.
What other games we got?
I guess Minnesota United hosted Houston Dynamo, and was this the Zarek Valentin derby here? Remember that?
I do.
2-1 win on the road for Minnesota. Minnesota cooling down a little bit. Was that team held together by Cameron Knowles, interim coach? I'm not saying it was, but just something to put in everybody's brain. But Houston, third place now, missing two DPs. They got 13 points, and they also have a game in hand on the Galaxy in first place. Really impressive start.
The Latif blessing effect. I mean, that's kind of when their fortunes turned around, right?
You're not wrong.
They signed him during their, you know, their little bad run of form, and it's been 3 wins in 4 games since then. Proven winner in this league, Latif Blessing.
Proven winner, likable guy.
Yeah.
Minnesota, however, cool off. They're now in 7th place. Lost at home. It's like we were talking about last week, the week before. Minnesota does not do great at winning games at home, evidently, and they lost this one. So really disappointing. There was a really clear chance where Will Trapp like gets around the goalkeeper and like should have been an easy tap-in. He's like an inch away from the goal and like he's about to kick it, and like Houston's defender just slides in at the last second and just clears it out. Awesome stuff. I'm done with this game. Minnesota hosting the Houston Dynamo. What else can you say? We're going to move on, unless you have some.
No, nothing.
Real Salt Lake hosting Columbus Crew, the first of our prediction games. I opted for RSL winning. Chase opted for Columbus winning. Neither of us were correct. It was a 0-0 draw. Heavily rotated Columbus lineup. Salt Lake should have won this, man. They had a lot of chances.
Yeah, honestly, good result for Columbus coming off a midweek game. Like you said, heavily rotated team, and they still managed to pull out a point at a tough place to go. Not very many teams are successful on the road in RSL. Rough result for RSL, though. You would really hope this would be like a statement game for them to make, you know, get some points. You know, you're playing against a team that's tired, they're rotated. They were just down in Mexico, and now they have to travel up and play like a few days later. Huge opportunity for RSL, and they kind of just coughed it up.
Yeah, really disappointing. But we don't really like to dwell on nil-nils, so I'm done. You done? I'm done.
I'm done.
San Jose hosting the Colorado Rapids. This was college night in San Jose. They advertised. They had like trampolines or like weird stuff like that there. It was kind of weird. I saw it on Twitter. The Rapids win 3-0 on the road at San Jose. William Yarbrough suiting up for the Quakes against his former team. But man.
And just concedes 3 goals.
Rafael Navarro with a brace. Cole Bassett with another goal. Both players in form. Colorado, man, like we talked about, they had that shaky first game, but they've been a really solid team this year. I think above most people's expectations. Agree?
Yeah, I would say so. They've looked a lot better. Granted, they've looked a lot better against not the best teams.
Got a draw against the Miami show last week.
A heavily rotated Miami show.
But they came in, though.
That's true. They held on for 30 minutes against Messi and friends.
Because they blew that game. They were... We'll talk about this week. We're not talking about Messi again.
San Jose had 62% possession, most of that coming from just kickoffs. But just...
Some long kickoffs, man.
they also just... They had a lot of shots. I just don't even know how you fix this team. I think we talked about this like a month ago. Like the three, like short-term, medium-term, long-term.
Since then...
I say you just burn the club down. Just sell them.
Since then, they lost more games, beat Seattle, and then lost some more games. They're one
win.
That's
what we like to see, actually.
They're one win and 7 losses on the season, and their one win was against the Sounders. Yeah, I don't know. This is a... You know, for me, I'm liking what I'm seeing here, because the June 19th game versus the Portland Timbers in San Jose, me and my wife were maybe circling on the calendar as one to go to. We were going to go last year in San Jose, but I was like, I don't know if I want to, and we kind of decided the last second. Ended up 0-0, didn't want to drive that far to see that. I don't want to jinx anything, but this is looking like a prime year to go. If you ever want to visit San Jose and take in PayPal Park... Might be your year.
You know what? San Jose fans, only about 20 more games of this until you go on that win streak I was talking about. So,
oh man,
things could be worse.
We both predicted this one as well. We predicted Colorado wins 2-1 and 1-0. Little did we know Colorado just punched San Jose right in the mouth just in this game.
Ate their lunch in front of them.
Next up, Vancouver hosting the LA Galaxy.
Take that, Vancouver. Take that.
Chase is still getting his feelings out from that Vancouver-Portland match, which I don't blame him. That was trash. Whitecaps lose 3-1 at home.
I think this kind of shows the gap in true quality of like these top of the Western Conference team. You laugh, but like honestly, this Vancouver team isn't made up of super high quality players when you look at it.
It's
a bunch of utility men for MLS.
You don't think Fafa Pico is going to be the X factor here?
Let me name some players and you tell me if they're top tier MLS players. Ranko Veselinovic.
It's my favorite.
Tristan Blackman.
Legend.
Andreas Kubas.
Actually decent.
Damir Krylak.
Substitute.
Passed it. Sebastian Bearhalter.
Legend.
Nepotism. Ali Ahmed.
He's all right. He's decent.
I'm going down their.
I mean, your wing like back even, isn't going to be your like.
When you go down their roster and you look at like, okay, their big like star player on the field, Brian White.
Right.
Backup striker for most other teams in the league. Like, that's who Cincy should have gone and got instead of Corey Baird. Actually, Vancouver should have got Corey Baird. That probably would have been in the line with their star-studded lineup.
I love Ryan Gold. He's a class player. But I get what you're saying because, yeah, the Galaxy, you see the quality. Ricky Puig had a nuts through ball for Joseph Paintsil, who's had an electric season. Jovalich scores another goal. He's at 6 or 7 goals on the season.
Even their backup, like Diego Fagundes, like one of their backup wingers is like...
scoring tap-ins on...
It's probably better than like Vancouver's starters. I mean, I will say it's impressive they've been able to put together some form with just like a utility team, but I feel like they're just bound to regress to the mean and everybody's just hyped this Vancouver team up way too much.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It was really funny, so... 0-0 at halftime, second half, Jovalich scores, 56 minutes, 1-0, Brian White ties it in the 77th, and it's tie game. You think game on. 3 minutes later, the Galaxy score, and then a couple minutes later, they score again. Just shutting down Vancouver. My last piece of analysis, after watching this game on the recap, you know how they'll show, like, the, not cinematics, but, like, some little, like, cut scenes almost of like the players walking up or the national anthem or like the coaches shaking hands before the game. They showed that after the game for this, and it was Greg Vanney and Vanney Sartini, and they both go to like, they hug each other, so they must have like known each other from maybe Toronto days or, you know, and but like when Greg Vanney hugs Sartini, he like goes to hug him, and then he like, before he does, he like, he's wearing a vest, Vanney Sartini, and like another weird sweatshirt, and Greg Vanney just like pokes under his vest and he like points at, he's like asking him what it is or something like that and laughing. So Greg Vanney must have listened to the pod and was checking out what the sweatshirt was for Vanney Sartini.
The Vanney bros having a moment there.
I was gonna say too many Vannies in like one sentence there. I couldn't get my words out properly. That was terrible.
3-1 LA Galaxy, looking like the real deal, honestly. They look pretty legit.
Last couple games on a Sunday, it feels like Atlanta plays every other Sunday to me. There'll be like one or two Sunday games, and it's always Atlanta. But Atlanta United hosting Philadelphia Union. Another prediction game for us. Chase said 3-2 Atlanta. I was bang on the money. This one ends 2-2 in Philadelphia. In Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
I'm going to cut that. You're never going to hear that. 2-2 draw. Atlanta up 2-0, but the Union stormed back 2 goals.
I was hoping. I thought my prediction was going to come right after they bagged a couple goals late in the second half, but not to be. Not to be, unfortunately.
Yeah, kind of just like Atlanta cooling down, I feel like, lately. But Philadelphia, with this, remains the last unbeaten team in the league. Pretty impressive.
That is kind of crazy because it doesn't seem like they've had that great of a start, honestly. But
right.
They just don't know how to lose, apparently.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about Philly a lot in the last few weeks. So we always cover whatever team like beats Portland pretty convincingly. So Philly got their time to shine last few weeks back. St. Louis hosting Austin. 1-0 for St. Louis. Joao Klaus gets a goal. Finally back on the score sheet.
Right after we were just talking about him and how he doesn't score.
You know who else doesn't score? The Portland Timbers. They never score.
Felipe Mora, Jonathan Rodriguez, Evander.
Especially next week when they play Columbus. They probably won't score.
I forgot they play in Columbus next week. That's going to be brutal. Oh, man. Hey, most importantly with this game, though, Austin FC has fallen below the Portland Timbers in the standings yet again. Let out that deep sigh.
Vamos. Oh,
man, things are right in the world once again.
Oh, man, we'll take those. It's really sad.
We
when
have
you're...
to assert our dominance as the best green team in the league. There aren't too many, but we just can't let that happen.
In the green team, like, cup, I would say Verde, but Austin's already stolen that. We got Portland, Seattle, Austin. Portland sitting at the top of the league.
We're
in that
sitting
competition.
At the top of the cup. Yeah, there's no green teams in the East.
Posers.
I guess there's no. There's, when you think of green, you think of lush forests and Austin, Texas. Apparently.
When I think of Austin, Texas, I think of trees. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Is that all the games?
I don't. Yeah. I mean. John Gallagher got a yellow card in the 67th, if you want to talk about that, but...
No.
Okay. Moving on. We're going to do some Who Am I, some classic Who Am I, but with a twist, one of our favorite games. I was watching Atlanta United versus Philadelphia, which we just talked about, but I didn't mention. Daniel Rios scored for Atlanta. They just signed him. He's a player who's done the impossible. He's played for Charlotte, he's played for Nashville, and he's played for Atlanta, the three teams in the South that aren't from Florida in that little rivalry zone. So it got us thinking, who are some players who have crossed the unthinkable rivalries, played on multiple teams in a rivalry, and we're going to quiz each other and see if we can guess who a player is.
I'm going to go ahead and guess Raheem Edwards.
That was the first player I wrote down, and Chase was like, I had this one on my list, but I took him off because I think you'll get him. It was the first player I wrote down. You want to explain the rules?
Essentially, with Who Am I, we pick a player fitting the criteria, and then we come up with three different sets of clues. It could be anything. It could be something obscure as I was in the police force in Orlando. and... You get to guess. So I'll come up with a clue. If Jacob gets it off my first clue, he gets 3 points. Off the second clue, he gets 2 points. Off the last clue, he gets 1 point. A lot of times we'll come up with some extra clues because it's more fun when the other person can actually guess rather than just to completely stump them.
Yeah, we try not to pick a guy who made like one appearance.
I almost did. I picked one guy and then I looked into it and I realized he actually just went on loan at LAFC for 3 games and then went on loan at LA Galaxy for like 10 games. But I didn't pick that.
Ethan Zubek?
Nico Henelainen, some weird like...
Wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, it was... I don't think I could ever have known that guy if I hadn't specifically looked for his career path.
So I got 2. You got 3, right?
I got 3. I can go first then.
Yeah, let's have you go first.
All right. First up, let me pull it up here. I wasn't prepared. All right. First clue. I started my career in Canada with Toronto, and I am now a co-owner of League One Ontario club, Simcoe County Rangers FC.
Tosin Ricketts.
No. Good guess. That actually is a good guess.
Respect.
Second clue. I've played in MLS, the Premier League, the Championship, Danish Super League, and the Canadian Premier League. In the MLS, I played for four different teams. He's currently playing in the Canadian Premier League.
Man, it sounds even more like Tassane Ricketts now somehow.
Very similar career path.
Junior Hoilett, that random Canadian guy?
No. That is a good guess, though. Last clue. I play center back. I've played for both Toronto. Okay, I'll list all of his MLS teams. Toronto, Vancouver, LAFC, and Minnesota.
Oh, I know who it is. It's Danielle Henry.
Danielle Henry is correct.
Big Donnie. Went to West Ham, right?
I believe so. Yeah, I went to West Ham. I don't know who he played with in the championship, but I know he played Premier League championship. I had his career path pulled up earlier and threw it down.
Respect. That's a great pick right there. Like, notable MLS player, like somebody you would remember, but just falls into that category where it's like you'll probably won't remember him fondly. Like,
Just enough. All right. Who do you got?
All right.
Raheem Edwards.
Who am I? This is kind of a wild shout here, so I apologize.
Oh, man.
I've played in MLS since 2012. I'm currently in MLS. I've made a whopping 38 appearances in the last 14 years.
This screams backup goalkeeper, if I've ever heard of one, without a doubt. Oh, man, but not a backup goalkeeper. It's got to be somebody who just... Oh, he still plays in MLS.
Still playing.
Stephen Cleveland.
Not Stephen Cleveland. Who am I? So I've made 38 appearances in MLS since 2012. I've won two supporter shields. My last one's going to give it away, so...
He's won two supporter shields.
Two shields.
He's still currently playing.
Still in the league.
You know, this makes me... This reminds me of that Scott Carson with Man City. That, like, 48-year-old goalie with the giant gap in his front teeth.
This is going to give it away, but this is the exact player I had in my brain comparing him.
So it's got to be just some...
He's a goalkeeper.
Just old head goalie that's just bounced around with teams and has won two supporter shields.
He's not as old as you would think, though, playing since 2012. He's only 33. So he started up as a backup, like, when he was 21.
Oh, man. And he just never was not a backup, apparently. He only has 38 appearances total across 14 years. This is hard.
I'll give you a hint. He's played for two MLS clubs.
Only two MLS clubs.
So, and two of them are like rivalries. So,
okay. Oh, man.
He's played for one club his entire career.
And then
from
switched.
2012. Went on loan to their rival for one season. Made one appearance on loan. The loan didn't get extended. They recalled him back. And he's been, and that was in 2015, he's been at this club, original one, ever since.
It's got to be a successful team that's won multiple supporter shields.
Which does narrow it down.
Oh, man. You know who I was going to say? Like, I was thinking, like, John McCarthy, but I don't think he's been in the league that long, and he's not that old. And I think he has more appearances than that at this point. Who else? Supporter Shield winner. I mean, I'm thinking like a Toronto, a Philly. Oh, is it Joe Bendick?
It is not Joe Bendick. That's a great shot, though.
Ah, dang it.
This is going to give it away, possibly. I play with Thierry Henry, Tim Cahill, Juninho, David Villa, Frank Lampard, and Andrea Pirlo.
So across the New York rivalry.
The heated Hudson River Derby.
Who was the Red Bulls backup goalkeeper? What? Oh, man. Because I know it was Luis Robles forever, but I don't know who their backup was. And he's still playing?
He's still the backup.
Oh, man.
To this day.
Oh, man. This is wild. I don't know who their backup is. I'm going to just...
Up?
Yeah, I'll just... throw out Scott Carson.
They call him Larry Bird. Shout out to Ryan Mira. Larry Bird lookalike. Crossing New York.
Respect for that shout. Respect to Ryan Mira. We'll take it. Even though I didn't get a point there. All right, next up. Who am I? I've played for 8 MLS teams, scoring 63 goals in 346 appearances. My last team was the Charlotte Independents in 2019. A little bit of a hint there in itself.
Charlotte Independents. Jack McInerney?
No, but very similar, like, era of player. I will give you that, actually. That is, like, our era that we're in right here, okay? I'll list his career path here for you. I played for FC Dallas, New York Red Bulls, Houston, Chicago, Columbus, Toronto, Montreal, San Jose Earthquakes. Since retiring, I've become a youth coach at Charlotte. So the rivalry he crossed there was Toronto and Montreal.
Oh, man. Dominic Oduro?
It is Dominic Oduro.
Pizza man himself. What a legend.
That was my last clue, was I had a pizza haircut.
Dude, I remember you'd watch like an Ultimate Team video on FIFA 13. Like, you'd make like these non-rare silver like MLS squads, and then that guy had like 98 pace. It was unbelievable.
That guy was a beast.
Respect. That's anybody listening to this, if you're newer to MLS, just look up Dom Oduro highlights on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. It's a great way to spend an evening. I'm going to go on my next one, though. Who am I? I have played with Luis Robles, Freddie Montero, and Tim Parker.
Luis Robles, Freddie Montero, and Tim Parker. Okay, I got to figure out the teams here. We got Freddie Montero was at Seattle, and I don't know if he didn't go to... He went to Vancouver for a little while. So we got those two teams. Luis Robles was Red Bulls and Miami. Who else was that in that list?
Tim Parker.
Oh, man. So it's got to be a Red Bulls... Somebody played at Red Bulls at some point.
I'll give you a hint. Tim Parker played at Vancouver, Houston, New York, and now St. Louis.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. I'm sure maybe Luis Robles played somewhere else before he went to Red Bulls, but I feel like he was at Red Bulls forever. I'm trying to figure out the rivalry lines here we got. I'm going to go with Kendall Waston.
Not a bad guess. Prominent player in this era, but it is not Kendall Waston. This player, along with playing with Luis Robles, Freddie Montero, and Tim Parker, this player scored the winning goal in the 2013 Gold Cup Final in a 1-0 game.
Gold Cup Final? I don't even remember who won that gold. Was it U.S. that won that Gold Cup, or was it... I don't even remember who won.
It was between the United States and Costa Rica. So Kendall Waston was maybe on the field during that.
Give me Rodney Wallace.
Not Rodney Wallace.
Dang it.
Last guess. This player played for both current Florida MLS teams. So I kind of jinxed you there. He played for Orlando City and Inter Miami. And just for fun, man. Stoke City.
And Stoke City. Oh, man. I'm trying to think who's crossed that rivalry. I was trying to look for guys earlier, too, and I had a tough time trying to find somebody that's crossed that rivalry because it's so fresh. And I honestly didn't really pay attention to Miami the first couple years. I'm like most people in MLS. Oh, man. Okay, so... Did he he play with Freddy Montero in MLS or was it overseas?
In the MLS. Okay. In Vancouver.
In Vancouver. Dang, so who went from Vancouver down to Florida? That is a, this is a tough shout. This is, I'm going to be kicking myself when I get this one wrong. I already know. I'm going to go with. I'm blanking. I can't think of a single name that's crossed that rivalry. Give me, I don't know. I have no shout.
Breck Shea.
Oh, gross.
Breck Shea.
Dude, how did I forget about that guy? I hate that guy. I always hated watching him play.
Because of that one goal he scored against, like, the Timbers, like, the outside of the boot. Like,
yeah, remember? Exactly that reason. Every time I watched him play against the Timbers, he was the most annoying player on the field.
Dude, I watched.
I know everybody. He's like a cult hero for a lot of, like, MLS sickos, but I just despise that guy.
The very first Timbers game I ever went to, 2012 against FC Dallas, a Timbers player did, like, a bicycle kick clearance, and this is when Breck Shea was at FC Dallas. And he, like, kicked Breck Shea directly in the face, and, like, the game stopped. That's my Breck Shea memory.
Was it Alvis Powell?
No, I want to say it was, like, James Marceline. This is 2012. This was a rough year.
I love it. I love it. All right, I got one last one here for you. Good luck. If you get this one, I'll be very impressed, actually. I started my career in Jamaica. before coming to MLS. Oh my gosh, I messed up my typing here. I like tried entering something and I entered it incorrectly. So he came to MLS and he left MLS after his contract got declined in 2017 by the New England Revolution, where he then went to play in USL for the rest of his career.
Jamaica.
So he came to MLS in 2011 is when he started his career, had his contract declined in 2018 by the New England Revolution.
And he's Jamaican. Wow. Or came from Jamaica. Maybe there's some foreign player tearing it up in the Jamaican Premier League. Oh, man.
For their first team.
That is tricky. Give me. Oh man, who's that left back? Kamar Lawrence.
Good guess, but incorrect. I won two Eastern Conference championships in 2011 and 2012. I played with Eric Bruner, Boniac Garcia, and Ricardo Clark during those championship runs.
Eric Bruner. Did you know that guy's a Twitch streamer now?
Just no way.
Random fringe MLS center back. Yeah, I saw like, this was like 6 years ago too, so I don't know if he still is, but he was wearing like a backwards hat. He had like the whole like mic and setup like way before that was popular. Decent center back. Oh man. I could. Jeez. 2011, Jamaica. I feel like Houston had a lot of Jamaicans. Is it Corey Ash?
It is not Corey Ash. I was a defender. I played for Houston, FC Dallas, New England Revolution.
Oh, I got it.
Who is it?
Do you want to finish your clue? Sorry.
I was just going to say, and then in USL, he played for Charlotte, OKC Energy, and the Austin Bold.
It's Javon Watson.
Absolutely. My last clue was going to be my middle name is Tiddly. I was going to show you this picture of him shaking hands with Messi after he played him in the Copa America.
Where's Messi? Shaking hands with Javon Watson. That is a name I haven't heard in a long time. Do you remember when he scored a goal from like the halfway line in MLS?
So when I was telling you, when I was like coming up with the clues for this before we started, this was the guy I was talking about, and I was like, I don't know if you'll get him, but like when his name is said, I just have a very vivid memory of him in MLS. This guy was a monster.
That's like one of those goals, like I feel like I see way less impressive goals, like, from over the years, like, replayed and, like, compilations and stuff. That's, like, a solid goal that you never hear about. Nobody talks about Javon Watson scoring from the halfway line for FC Dallas.
That was probably my favorite shout, because I'd completely forgot about this guy until I was looking up, like, players for this. What a legend.
Man, love to see it. Love to see it. That wraps up a great edition of Who Am I? MLS. That was one of my favorite, like, lineups of players. We had Breck Shea. We had Ryan Mira, Javon Watson.
Oh, do you remember what team he scored that against?
Was it Whitecaps?
It was Chivas USA.
Oh, man, that makes it even better.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Was that on Tim Melia? Wasn't he goalkeeper there? Or am I crazy? Or
I think he was, but I don't know if it was
Dan then. Kennedy. Remember that guy?
Man, forgotten heroes of this league. You can have the Messis. You can have the Suarez's. Nobody can ever take away those legends of this league.
Dan Kennedy, Javon Watson.
I hope.
DeShorn Brown. Remember that guy?
They just sound...
Dylan Powers.
I hope our league grows and continues to gain viewers, but I hope we never just become like the Prem where nobody remembers any players from before it was rebranded.
Yeah, I was going to say, I need to see more Charlie Adams in the Premier League, or, like, you know, Phil Jagielka.
Yeah, I don't want to see anybody forget the men who built this league into what it is now. Like, I was listening to a podcast recently, and they're talking about there's like a book about David Beckham, and in that book they're talking about Alan Gordon and how much money he got paid before Beckham was there, and it was like $18,000 a year or something to be a professional athlete in the U.S.
in L.A. too, probably,
in L.A.
right?
That's crazy. Is crazy.
That's wild. Who's those guys now? Because we kind of like that tier of player, like Javon Watson,
who's gonna be like
Jack
the forgotten.
Mack.
Like
the kind of like I have a few in mind, like Corey Baird comes to mind.
Brian White.
I mean, Tim Parker's kind of still in that category.
I think Diego Chara is going to fall into that category. He's going to be long forgotten by most of the league. He won't be forgotten by Timbers fans, but he'll be forgotten by the league.
See, to me, he's like too good though. Like, because even I would consider like Ozzie Alonso the same caliber. But, like, I would never pick him for one of those because he was, like, too notable.
So you're thinking, like, mediocre guys who are going to be forgotten.
Like, guys who had a few good years or, like, was a great role player but never best 11.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, like, I don't know why.
Like Corey Baird.
He's the one that immediately comes to mind. Will Bruin a few years back or last year.
Give me a, who's the guy at that went from Seattle to Houston that's scoring? Brad Smith. Scoring bangers. Like, that guy's going to be just long forgotten. You got Stephen Cleveland, who's just been holding it down. Joe Bendick. Zach McMath.
Aaron Herrera.
Aaron Herrera. There's a lot of those names that are playing right now that are solid players that in 10 years' time, when the salary cap is raised by, like, $200 million, you're just gonna forget about those guys, and everybody's gonna look back and be like, they're only getting paid $86,000 a year to be a professional soccer player in Cincinnati, Ohio.
The metropolis. Yeah, fun to spit those sort of names in MLS.
We should do a podcast where the entire time is we just name players back and forth like that and see how long we can go. I bet we'll go like 6 hours.
Let's do it in the party chat tonight to warm up.
Just to warm. Force our friends to sit there and listen to us. Just, I guess we already do, essentially.
Where's Messi? Shall we do some predictions?
I don't even know why I do these anymore.
Poor Chase got his first point in
weeks. It's been a while.
In a few weeks now. Last week, it's 19 points for me, 9 points for Chase for the season.
This is dumb.
Remember, 3 points for getting the result and score correctly, 1 point for getting the result correct, 0 points for nothing. You're a loser. We're going to start off with Toronto versus New England, which is kind of a stinker of a matchup that I picked.
I'm going 1-0. Yeah, I saw this one, and I can't see either of these teams winning, so I'm going to go 1-1. Toronto's defense is too bad. New England's defense is too bad. I think there's bound to be a goal for each team in it, but...
See, I think Toronto's offense is pretty abysmal, and I just feel like Carlos Hill is going to score one goal, like 1-0.
I'm going 1-1. I think New England's just in shambles right now. This could be the game that they turn around, though. It could very well be like 5-0 New England, and everybody's like, New England's back.
No, only if Toronto's been on the road for 6 weeks before.
Yeah, that's true. Next up, though, we got Sporting Kansas City hosting St. Louis. It's a rivalry game.
Finally, Sporting Kansas City's having a big team with big players in town.
And I see your prediction here. Why don't you go ahead and say it, and then I'll tell you why you're wrong.
I'm going 3-1 Kansas City. I think they finally get the monkey off their back with just blowing games at home. They turn up against, like, St. Louis. Remember in the playoffs last year, they just destroyed them in St. Louis. They beat them down at home. I feel like it's same principle here.
I would agree, but I think St. Louis is fed up. I think they're tired of getting beat. I think Joao Klaus gets these boys fired up. I think they win 2-1. I think they go on the road. They're tired of being the little brother in this rivalry. They haven't had the greatest start to the year, and they get fired up for this game. They win 2-1 on the road in SKC.
I can see that happening, but only if Kansas City goes up first 1-0, and then they just blow it.
I could agree. I would agree.
Hey, nobody yet has crossed it. Who's one player who could cross this rivalry on either team? You can see him hopping the fence.
I would have said Jared Stroud, but he could still be. He could go from DC to Kansas City.
Maybe like Chris Durkin.
Chris Durkin. Maybe like Samuel Adeniran in like 3 years if he hasn't like left the league by then. I could see that happening.
Kyrie Shelton for me. I feel like he's gonna get like cut, and then St. Louis is gonna sign him for like the league minimum.
His career is like almost over. He's like 30 something. He's just a backup.
It's kind of crazy. I remember when he came to the league, like from Oregon State. Kind of wild.
Anyways, what's our last game we got here?
An all English manager matchup of Charlotte with Dean Smith hosting Eric Ramsey's Minnesota United in Charlotte. I'm going 1-0 to the Charlotte boys.
I'm going 2-1 Minnesota. They're on the road. This is the only way they get points. They have to get a result here. Charlotte doesn't look super convincing. They're on a downslide.
It's going to be Leo Abada, the new winger from Celtic. He's going to score just a tight finish in the box. Bill Tuiloma is going to hold it down at center back, hopefully not foul anybody and cause disallowed goals like this last weekend. But
I could see it. I could see it. But I just feel like Minnesota needs to get points eventually, and this is where they do it.
Unrelated, but sort of. Did you see that Minnesota or Emmanuel Reynoso for Minnesota like skipped his green card meeting or something to like come back?
That is crazy.
Do you cut your losses with him at this point or in the summer if you're Minnesota?
It's tough because when he's there, there's no other player like him in this league. I mean, now you have Messi and guys like that, and I mean, I've said it before, like the passes and the quality that he brings. But the thing with Minnesota is like, I don't know. I guess, yeah, at this point you might have to cut him, but it's going to be really, really hard to find anybody that replaces that.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder what team – I mean, I don't really know the ins and outs. I feel like you see it a lot, but, like, maybe it's kind of hard to find a team that's willing to deal with, like, this off-the-field drama. Honestly, if they can find him a club in Argentina where he's home, where he doesn't have to deal with a lot of these things, might be the best. Completely agree with everything you said. However, if I'm Minnesota – this has been like a dark shadow on the team, like off and on the last 2-3 off seasons. I feel like it's time to cut your losses And then you can actually use that DP spot on somebody who wants to be there, who's committed, who can make a difference, even if he's not as good as Reynoso.
I would agree. It'll be tough. It'll be tough because if they cut him, they need to bring in just an absolute stud. And
Albert Rusnak.
Minnesota isn't the best, most appealing option for foreign players.
They should go all in on like Scandinavian players. Like they got Timo Pukki from Finland. They Martin Odegaard. He's gonna be their big DP.
I was gonna say, who else are you gonna name? What's the next guy on the Scandinavian list?
Give me a few weeks. Hey, Alexander Isak.
You're naming guys that would not come to MLS unless it's like 10 years from now.
Hey, man. You don't know what Jack Ramsey's going to conjure up in the behind the scenes meetings. So,
let me Google a list of possible Scandinavian players that you might be able to bring in. Erling Haaland.
I mean, he's just a League Two player. So,
how about they go out, they make a just lights out signing of Schmeichel. Casper Schmeichel.
Just leverage one of their good bright spots in Dane Sinclair and just...
You know what I actually could see them doing? Christian Eriksen.
Man U connection with Jack Ramsey. man.
He's getting towards the end of his contract. They need to reinvest. They need to get younger at Man U. He's still class. He's quality.
That would be... the dream scenario. You get
rid of this just punk little Argentinian Emmanuel Reynoso. You bring in the class act that is Christian Eriksen
feeding Timo Pukki just to put Minnesota United up 1-0 at Dick's Sporting Good Park in Colorado. That Euro snobs.
I would actually love to see that happen. That'd be pretty cool.
It's going to do it for 52, 53, 54, whatever this is, 53.
I think it's 53. I don't know.
Whatever that Timberman says.
That stupid Timberman. Anyways, thank you all for listening as always. Follow us on X. Send us emails.
Harass me on X.
Real quick, did you know the first club that Christian Eriksen played for was called Middlefart? Anyway,
that's what European people think MLS is made of, just teams like that.
You got Middlefart FC versus United.
Burger King and...
Anyways, thank you all for listening. As always, Preston Judd, come on the show.